And the one and last thing. Before the year, I said, not me say, it's just us saying, we're not gonna be fucking sunk this year! We're the Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
Woo! They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
You're potentially the face of a franchise. I don't want that face to be that of an asshole.
Russ Ivanek.
Taking out of my logical mind for a minute. He's just fun to watch.
And Justin Marcus.
Just park the khaki elephant in the room. No.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. We're going to talk about Stanley Cup. We're going to talk about all the great things today. We're also going to talk about my favorite subject, the booze cruise that Alexander Ovechkin is on right now after attaining that Stanley Cup. But first, I got to get to the guys I'm going to talk to so you guys don't all think I'm just talking to myself. We've got Russ Ivanek.
Yeah, the long pause there was to make people think you were talking to yourself.
Oh, this is all in my head.
Yep.
We've got Justin Marcus.
Hey, how we doing, buddy?
Doing good, buddy. How you doing?
Great.
Good, good. I'm glad. And it's now official. I can call him this without us having to put the disclaimer in. We have gym teacher Paul Rowe.
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, I really do like dodgeball, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, D.O. Paulie Rowe's with us. We're glad to have you back, buddy. We missed you. We got to spend the last couple weeks, you know, hanging out with you. Got married.
I officially graduated. Officially married. Jeez, guy, what's next?
Yeah, I've been busy.
Just checking off the list. But it's good to have you guys with us. We haven't done this in a couple weeks, and a lot's happened in that last couple weeks. I think I heard like 4 titles in 4 days was pretty much what it was. Golden State wins a title. The Caps won a title. I don't remember the name of the horse, but the horse
Justify.
Won the...
Mr. Ed.
I think
it
Paul
was Justify.
Said Justify. I don't remember the fourth one was, but someone else won something that they were very happy to win, I'm sure. But we're going to talk about the one we care about, and that's the Stanley Cup. Justin, how happy are you that the Vegas Knights crumbled even though you're a fan of them?
If you go back to 2 podcasts ago, I told you that the Caps are going to win one on the road and take the rest of the series. And I'm absolutely thrilled that drunk-ass Ovechkin has been partying since, like, last Thursday. So it's exactly how I wanted it to end. Vegas falls short and the Caps win.
Absolutely. And we actually have – this is rare, guys. You don't have this. We actually have the last sober thing Alexander Ovechkin said before his booze cruise.
Fans, we did it. Get some beers, get some whatever, and start celebrating. We're the Stanley Cup champions. Washington Capitals, baby. Woo!
So that's the last sober thing he said, as social media will tell you, because that man's living the dream right now. But the question I'm going to ask is, could anyone blame this guy? He's been chasing the cup for 14 years, finally wins it. I mean, the guy was a Hall of Famer without the cup, but now it's just solidified. Would any of us do anything differently, Russ?
No, he took his own advice, first off. The one thing I would do different is I would take off that hat every now and again.
Yeah.
He's been wearing that same hat for every photo that I've seen, every video I've seen, except for when he was in the pond. Swimming around in the fountain, rather.
I saw him on Jimmy Fallon the other night. He's got hair. That's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if someone shaved something when he passed out.
He is on a heater the likes that I don't know that we've seen in public. I mean, I'm sure almost all the Cup Finals winners, you know, they go out and they'll party and they'll celebrate like this. Like, we were graced with the image of Steve Eiserman on a jet ski with the cup.
Yeah.
At one point, right? Like, this happens, but I don't think it's ever happened in such a public setting. And I couldn't be happier.
Well, part of this is social media, because social media's come so far. But two, the thing is, they're just not afraid to go out and do it in public. All these other teams, you know, they go party in someone's mansion for a few days, take the cup to, you know, the Tonight Show, take the cup to the, you know, through the parade and all that. Ovi's at a Capitals game, hanging the cup over the balcony, just partying like it's nothing. Then he goes to the local fountain and has a swimming lesson with everyone. He's having a great time, and I can't fault him for it. I think I'd be doing the exact same thing. I drink that heavily even when I don't win jack shit.
You're telling me it's not completely normal to just stand in the second deck with the cup over your head for 20 straight minutes of play at a baseball game?
No, I don't think that's the cap. But I'm going to ask Paul this, because we all know the drinker that Paul is. Paul, when's the last time you saw a player do a keg stand with the Stanley Cup?
I honestly don't know. I mean, besides probably whatever goes on in the locker rooms when the cameras aren't rolling so heavily, I don't know. But also, what?
For those of you guys who don't know, Paul's not a very big drinker. In fact, we once ordered him milk at a bar.
That is true.
That's very true.
I drank confirm it. It was good milk.
It was good. I'm not going to lie.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, it was all that matters. But
hey, back to Ovi swimming in the fountain. Yeah. It caught the attention of Katie Ledecky, and she put out a tweet that said, "Nice technique."
I love
Ovi's
it.
Just
love
excelling
it.
At everything. Yeah, hockey, drinking, swimming.
It's
He's
true,
the man.
It's true.
This is Ovi's world. We're just living in it.
Absolutely.
Can I chime in on one thing about it?
Yeah.
The biggest thing I love about this is that when Pittsburgh won their cups, or even when Chicago was on their run of every other year, there was always something negative about that club winning. And I haven't heard anyone say anything negative about Washington winning their first cup and Ovi getting his first. Like, it's exactly what the NHL needs. And if it was Vegas on the other end winning, it's exactly what they wouldn't want. Because a franchise just to come in on their first year and take the title, not good. This is amazing for hockey that the Caps won it.
I agree. This just might be me. And in our pre-show, you heard what I said about Sidney Crosby, so this might actually be just me.
Yeah, spoiler, he's not a fan.
He's not a fan. I think the reason is, for the most part, other than the Wilson hits and the little, the Capitals are a likable team. Ovechkin's a likable guy. Sidney Crosby is not. Patrick Kane is not. There are guys on those teams that guys just don't like and mm-hmm. fans don't like. And, I mean, unless you're a Pittsburgh or a Chicago fan, you're not a big fan of them. You can respect the talent. I respect Crosby's talent. I respect Patrick Kane's talent and his ability to knock out, you know, cab drivers. But unless otherwise, you're not a fan. So I think that's why you haven't heard a bad word is because Ovi doesn't rub people the wrong way. You actually find yourself rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all Detroit sports fans. In theory, we shouldn't be rooting for anyone except for the Detroit Red Wings. But we do. I root for Ovi every year because he's a likable guy. And I think that's why. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, to build off of that, I'm low-key falling in love with Jacob Vrana after his phenomenal tattoo incident there where he got a wrist tattoo and had to lift up his short sleeve shirt to show us it because that's how drunk he was. He looks like a 14-year-old that's out on spring break and didn't tell his mom. But man, he is having the time of his life. There was a video of him just running into Washington bars, just screaming, "We're gonna do it again!" Having the time of his life. I hope he survives till next year.
I hope so too. And we're in sports, so we have to ask the question, could they do it again? Is this a team that if it stays the same, do they have the ability? I mean, in theory, a team that wins a title is a perfect team because they just did what no other team in the league did that year. Are, you know, is this a team that's we could see them doing it time and time again, or are we looking at a one-year wonder and there really is going to be a cup hangover?
Yeah, a literal cup hangover?
A literal cup hangover. That's my question. Anyone?
I don't think they can because it's not a matter of them being able to do it. It's a matter of them doing it better than any other team. And the parity is so high in the NHL. And I think someone's going to do it better than they can. So could they win if put everyone in a Ziploc bag and that's your roster? Maybe. But things are going to change so much in the offseason. There's no way that they'll be the best team. They'll be good, but not the best.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to look at it though. There's going to be some change, obviously, mm-hmm. but those big key pieces aren't going anywhere. Ovechkin's not leaving. Holtby's not going anywhere. The only big free agency they have right now is their head coach, who is technically a free agent and can sign a contract.
And John Carlson.
Yeah, but that guy's been there. He's been there his whole career, hasn't he? I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah,
they
just got to fit him in under the cap.
Yeah, so.
No, I mean, and they lost a big chunk of talent this past offseason mm-hmm. with guys like Marcus Johansson leaving because cap, right? They couldn't fit it. And that's what they thought last year was their last best chance at it. Oops.
You notice they didn't miss Green anywhere in there. Everybody was okay with
Can
Green.
Can I miss Green?
I'd love to miss Green. I'd love to see him go away. Paul, what do you think? You think Caps can potentially repeat?
I think they could, but I don't think it's likely. Especially because I didn't think they were going to make it past the second round, only because they struggled in the first round against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Because I think that went to seven games, didn't it?
The Columbus series?
Yeah.
Washington and Columbus.
I'm not sure.
No, I think
actually.
They went six. They went. Yeah, they lost. They lost two the first two seven and then won series. Four. Well, Tampa okay. went seven. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Two of their series to get to the Stanley Cup went seven. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember.
Tampa and Pittsburgh.
Okay, so that would be the right
one. Okay. Well, they were definitely a good team to, you know, obviously make it this far and win it all. So I think they could. I don't think it's that likely because I think, you know, it's kind of a line for them this time, I think, more so than them being an absolute powerhouse. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. Because, I mean, they got to play a new, brand new team for the Stanley Cup. So, you know, I think Vegas' luck kind of ran out towards the end and the Capitals were just surging before they were boozing. So, yeah, I think they could, but I would, you know, believe it when I see it. They could do it again for next season.
Okay, that's fair. And then the only other hockey question really to be asked is what odds do you give Vegas being able to not recreate in the exact same way, but be as good of a team on paper as they were this past year?
Oh, I've been picking against them a whole lot, so I guess I'll double down there because I got to be right sooner or later.
Yeah.
No, I mean, William Karlsson's not going to shoot 25% again. He's just not going to. I mean, if he comes back down to about his average shooting percentage or a little above, well, I won't say he'll go back to fourth line of production, but still we're talking 20, 25 instead of 40 goals. Mm. That's going to make a big difference there. There's another year of everyone on there. I mean, we saw some of the – they tried to bring in Tatar. That didn't work.
That didn't work.
Right? So there's some talk of them trying to bring in other people. Is that going to work? It kind of lends credence to the idea that they just kind of captured lightning in a bottle here, and it was a magical run. They're not going to be – I still think next year they'll be better than we thought they were going to be this year, right? But I don't think we're talking about, you know, Stanley Cup Finals again.
Playoff contending team?
Yeah, I think they'll contend for a playoff spot.
Okay. Paul, playoff contender?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I was also kind of leaning towards maybe their whole team would be a collective sophomore slump. But I don't know. That's just the sour side of me thinking that. But, you know, for their sake, I hope for them that they could play off or be playoff contenders again for sure.
Okay, Sergeant Salty, what do you got?
You know when you start dating someone, in the beginning of dating, you're just having all kinds of sex? Oh my gosh! Follow me.
Oh my!
All right, no, you got my attention.
Go on.
We're listening.
You might also have your wife's attention if she ever listens to this.
Yeah.
Vegas's first year in the NHL was that moment in time. You're sneaking it in anytime that you can. This is going to trend downwards. There's no way that all those guys can hit at the clips that they were. The points that they were getting, their careers have never seen that before. So there's no way they're going to excel that. And the odds are so unlikely for them to reproduce it. Fleury's getting older. He had a very shitty Final Cup series, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The playoffs, yes. Coming close to being a contender, no. Their sex life is going downhill.
So what you're saying is they're going to go flaccid and be unable to reproduce.
Yes, that is what they're actually aiming for this year. The low target.
By the way, if Natasha ever hears this podcast, might as well just get ready for the fight because it's gonna be a 12 round battle.
that was in no relation to my world. That was just
sure. We don't build metaphors using our own life as experience or anything. No.
No shit.
Oh my God.
So that went well.
That was great. I'm gonna agree with you guys. I'm obviously the sophomore slump is a thing. We've all seen it. We know it exists. But this isn't like these guys are second-year pros. Like some of these guys have been in the NHL for a while. So, I in theory, an off-season together with another year being able to work, adding pieces, this team should be just as good. You got a year to gel, a year to get a little, you know, tighter. And I personally think they'll contend for a playoff spot. I'm not going to give them a, you know, repeat of getting back to the Stanley Cup, but they could definitely be tough. They could, you know, they could maybe make it a round or two in the Stanley Cup, and I'd be fun to see. I'm excited. They're a young team who have proven that, you know what, we're going to kick some butt if you give us the opportunity to, so I'm kind of excited for it. And we'll see what happens.
There'll be good hockey in the desert, finally. Arizona.
Yeah, you're saying Arizona's a good hockey team?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
I'm not going to disagree.
Wait, hang on. Can we talk about that for a second? I saw that they're not going to ship out OEL. They're going to keep him sidelined, and they're not letting teams go after Oliver Ekman Larson. I don't know why or what the hell they're doing.
being the Arizona Coyotes.
Okay.
Yeah, they got their only elite talent. God, I wouldn't want to let them go. You're never going to trade and get full value for them.
So don't Domi not an elite talent yet?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I think he can be a nice piece, but I'm not game planning for Max Domi.
Yeah, I see some talent there.
Yeah, no, he's an NHL player.
As
he's
a guy
a
that's had
NHL
him on
player.
His fantasy team for like 2 years now.
Oh, well, that explains your finishes.
I agree. Well, I'm not going to pull a Bishop and just drop him and then he fucking scores 40 goals.
For those that don't know.
Yeah, that's an inside, but.
We had someone drop Ben Bishop early in the year a couple years back because he was slumping, and thank you very much for the championship. I was able to pick him up.
Noel, we love
collusion.
You. We love
collusion
you, Noel. Yeah, we love you, Noel. We love you. Come back to Michigan as soon as possible.
Please.
Moving on. This is the one that got me a little hot under the collar. It made me a little upset, actually. Baker Mayfield leaves. Rest in peace, Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. Kyler Murray is now the quarterback. Scrambler, he's a talented athlete. But the problem I have is that he's going to play Oklahoma football while getting $5 million from the Oakland A's to play baseball, kind of like a retainer, like you're not going anywhere, you belong to us. What I don't understand is...
You belong to us, that was strong.
Yeah, sorry. What I don't understand is how the hell can he make money from a professional team and still play college sports? Correct me if I'm wrong, that's not right. And we've had a lot of guys have a lot of hard times because of this exact thing. They were receiving money, granted not from a professional organization, but at the same time. Russ, you need to explain this to me because I don't understand it.
So they actually are able, again, I had to read some documentation, so you know, thanks for bringing this topic up so I had to learn or something.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so they are allowed to have outside jobs. They are allowed to be employed professionally in other sports outside of the one that they have a scholarship for in college. Obviously, you would expect with an outside job, maybe some shady stuff would happen. You know, maybe some stuff we saw with the Fab Five here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But the clause is supposed to be it's allowable if work is performed at an amount comparable to the going rate in that area for similar services. So you can't be paid, you know, $100,000 to wash windows.
But it's kind of deal. Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say is there's a huge difference between bagging groceries at Kroger or flipping sandwiches at Blimpie or at Subway and having a professional contract with the Oakland A's.
But it also, if he was a tremendously talented stockbroker, say, he could be paid equal to that value through this clause. So if that was the going rate was $150,000, he could make $150,000 doing that work.
Yeah.
The slot for the ninth overall pick is $4.761 million.
Yeah.
He signed for just under $5 million. So it weirdly fits into that clause. Now, if you want to talk about him playing professionally and in college at the same time, that's a little screwy, but he's not actually gonna play for the A's at all until after his time.
I don't know. It just seems a little off to me because, like, most college kids, you guys went to college. I didn't, but correct me if I'm wrong here. You get like a summer internship if you know your career is going in that direction, and I get like playing minor league ball or that kind of stuff. That's doable.
Mm-hmm.
But you like when and this is a little off, but like point guard for Ohio State a few years ago, Aaron Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Could have gone to the NBA. Like, he would have been selected in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But said, you know what? Not for me. I'm going to go to med school. Big ups, Paul. I'm going to go to med school. And he, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't, like, in the summers, he got an internship, I believe, with his dad's company, like a pharmaceutical company or something. But that's what I'm saying is, like, he didn't go and be, like, play college basketball and also get a surgeon's salary. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't seem – it seems like there's something amiss here. It's probably an old rule because they made it 50 years ago when baseball players got paid, like, $1,000 a season if you were a not everyday, like, top-of-the-notch player.
Right. Well, that is the thing, too. If he wasn't a first-round pick, if he was a seventh, eighth-round pick – I mean, if he gets a signing bonus at all, the minor league salaries are, it's not even livable.
No.
Right? So it wouldn't even be something we'd be talking about.
But it's because he signed a $5 million.
Yeah, because he's uniquely talented to be able to play both sports. Personally, I don't know why he's coming back to play football. Kid, you're getting $5 million. I, I've, read scouting reports likening him to Ricky Henderson.
Oh yeah,
dude, go play baseball.
Well, and see the big
the save
big,
your brain.
The big thing on that is the fact that he's gonna have an insurance policy.
Oh, of course.
Of, you know, because Jake Butt had one. Look what happened to Jake Butt. But that's what I'm saying is you've got $5 million, you know, sitting in your bank account right now for the Oakland A's.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee. This is Detroit. I can guarantee.
Wow.
There is no insurance policy that's going to be worth $5 million for a college quarterback mm-hmm. who hasn't even been a starter till this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. Listen, my wife's an Oklahoma Sooner, loves him to death, roots for him all the time. I've learned to like Oklahoma football. Get the hell out of here. Just let someone else play, dude. Go play baseball. You're clearly going to be a baseball player. If mm-hmm. you were like that phenomenal of a football player, there would have been a little more push up against Baker Mayfield, or you would have been able to succeed at Texas A&M before you transferred.
I think that's the bigger point, yeah.
Baker Mayfield, Heisman quarterback. He's yeah. one of the best that they've seen in a long time. But still, there would have been a lot more push than you getting on the field once or twice a game to run the option.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jay, do you agree with this? Do you think this shouldn't be allowed to happen? Where are you at with this?
I've got two opinions on it. First one, just what Russ was saying, being uniquely talented, pay the man his money. Let him play. Let him do whatever. Let him be a pilot, a stripper, and a cook at the same time. I don't care.
Well, like, that's a triple threat.
That's the thing. Like if he has the mentality and the drive to do what he wants to do, let him do it. I don't have a problem with it. But the problem I have on the other side is what you guys are saying is very logical in terms of Eric's point of view on this. But you can't instill logic into collegiate sports. It's already half backwards because they're focusing on the athlete instead of the student portion as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there is a way for someone to make money doing A and still be not paid doing another task with, you know, being a football player, you already missed the boat on trying to do things correctly, in the modern age of time. So the dude's talented, let him go get his money and... You know, the collegiate world's already messed up as it is, so what's one more loophole?
Justin, I love you, you little bald bastard. You just called me logical, and it touched me.
You should have seen his face light up.
I haven't teared up this much since we watched Paul at his first dance. Seriously, it was great.
Oh, my goodness, we did get to watch that.
Yeah, we did.
Man, we're old.
D.O. Rowe, where are you at with this? You know, you're the most recent one to graduate college, so I guess you can give us a little bit of perspective. Are you someone who's okay with the fact that this guy's getting $5 million and getting a full ride scholarship to play football? No dues, no debt.
Because my thing is, you know, if he has the talent to be able to be in the situation to begin with, I mean, let him have the money, you know, let him have that opportunity. Because for one, it's not for football. If it was football, that'd be a different story, but it's for a different sport with a different timeline. And so, you know, if he's got the talent to do it, absolutely go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, to be honest, the joke's kind of on Oakland A's that they're willing to put this risk on this player playing football when he really wants to be a baseball player, I think he said anyway. I mean, mm-hmm. he should be for what he's about to earn.
Yep.
So it's kind of their risk to, you know, everything for them to lose. I mean, he must be that good that they're willing to put that on the table and be willing to, you know, accept that risk. So, I mean, by all means, I say he's good to go. Go for it. I'm all about it for him.
Okay. That's fair. Russ, you're kind of...
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I mean, that was one of my other points I was thinking of, too, and Paul nailed it. The A's are assuming all the risk, and they're the only ones that could be the losers at the end of the day.
No,
Maybe the fan base is pissed because their quarterback's actually a baseball player, but the A's are the ones who get screwed at the end of the day. So that's a great take by Paul.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like, A's have a lot invested in something mm-hmm. that may not pan out for him. So, and you know, God forbid. I wish the best for this guy. I'm not looking for him to fail miserably. He goes out and has like a highlight reel season and, you know, is the Heisman conversation. Probably won't be, but potentially is. You kind of get looked at as the potential, not that he will be, but potentially looked at as the overall pick in the draft for the NFL.
Ugh.
You got some decisions to make here. You really do, though, because correct me if I'm wrong, an NFL first overall contract
mm-hmm.
is a lot better than $5 million.
Yes.
So,
just the signing bonus.
And again, this is in the clouds kind of thing, uh-huh. but stranger things have happened. How many times have we seen a guy who
was just in the finals?
Exactly. Or no one we've ever known, like someone we've never heard of in our life, like junior year, busts out, goes, you know, set, like breaks the college rushing record for the season or something, and all of a sudden in the Heisman conversation, mm-hmm. top tier player, gets drafted, you know, so you never say never, and especially for Oklahoma, they're a top up team, they're going to be on TV a lot, he's going to get coverage. I mean, a lot's going to be talked about this. He's going to be answering these questions for the next, you know, 3-4 months at least. Mm-hmm. But Russ, where are you? Are you okay with this? You thinking?
I am 100% okay with this. I think college athletes, student athletes, let's not forget, should be compensated more than they are, especially in football where they're putting their bodies at risk.
Exactly.
It's also not the first time, even recently, we've had to do with this. Kyle Parker got a $1.4 million signing bonus. Russell Wilson got a $200,000 one. Mm-hmm. He had to give most of it back because he never went and played baseball.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, it's this guy's more talented, it seems, in baseball than these other players, so I'm okay with him getting paid more. God, I wouldn't go play football if I was him, though.
No. Baseball seems
You can have as big of an insurance policy as you want. I mean, if he goes out there and blows out his ACL or has a shoulder injury to his throwing arm, what does that do for his baseball prospects?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. The real question, did Drew Henson ever do this? I'm just thinking back to guys that were double sports athletes. I mean, he left U of M to go play professional baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. I'm
wondering if he's maybe at I wish he had done something like this now. I mean, think about it.
He'd be a good one to ask.
He'd be a good one to ask.
Chime
in
on this that, hey, if you got to go back knowing what happened with your non-existent pro football career.
And non-existent pro baseball career.
Yeah, what would you have done?
Yeah. Honestly, it agitates me a little bit that this seems to be kind of a moral gray area for the NCAA.
What? Moral gray? NCAA? No.
Nah.
They rhyme for a reason.
Yeah. But
I'm just going to point that out, too.
Yeah. It just does seem to be, but at the same time, he's 20 years old. He loves the game of football mm-hmm. and has the opportunity to still play and play at a high level at a big-time school. But at the same time, no one in their right mind can turn down $5 million, especially when, oh, guess what? The consolation prize, if you can even call it that, is playing professional baseball. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a pro athlete no matter what. You're kind of like, which one do I want to take? Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit of a moral gray area for me, but at the same time, I'm not going to be too upset with the guy getting his money where he can get his money. Now, staying in the NFL, or not in the NFL, but staying in football, this one's going to be quick because I don't think any of us are going to have anything other than horrible things to say about it. Terrell Owens. I'm looking at Russ. I'm sure he's going to give me the acknowledgement here. One of the top five wide receivers to ever play this game. The guy is a phenomenal, potentially.
Yeah.
Phenomenal talent.
Yeah, if we want to talk about physical gifts, sure. Yeah. If we want to talk about between the ears.
Well, I'm talking about on the field, catching the ball, one of the top talents. And that's saying something because, to me, one of the top three receivers to ever play this game, retired from Detroit a few years ago, mm-hmm. and I would put T.O. in the same conversation as him. But, yeah, between the ears, off the field, he's a psycho.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. He is the single best, top, all-time guy to do shirtless push-ups in his driveway.
Good for him.
Yep,
good for him. This is another one of those. The cameras aren't on him because he's not playing professional football anymore. I need to find a way to be relevant mm-hmm. again. Terrell Owens has said he will, even though he cried and whined for 3 years to get into the Hall of Fame because he kept getting passed over. Randy Moss gets in. Why am I not in? Mm-hmm. Next person gets in. Randy Moss has said, or not Randy Moss. Randy Moss is a good person. Terrell Owens has said he will not go to his Hall of Fame enshrinement. The first to ever not. Paul, where are you at with this?
So, yeah, I was going to point out how he's been whining for about 2 or 3 years about how the selection criteria or whatever it is that they do to decide who gets in.
Yeah.
He's been griping and moaning about that for so long. And then to turn around when he finally gets it, and then say, oh, well, I don't think I'm going to attend. A little bit disrespectful, but granted, he did say, like, he was quoted as saying, you know, he's really honored to have this honor. And then also that he's thankful to all the teams who, you know, have he's been on and recognized him, stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, just show up. Just go do it. Because part of being a Hall of Famer is that, you know, it's part of the ceremonial aspect of it, that you go, you show yourself, you get the coat, you know,
you look wonderful yet again. So, I mean, of all people who are going to avoid a stage, it's kind of odd that T.O. is going to avoid a stage to be on. You know, so.
Yeah, but part of me thinks he's avoiding the stage because it's getting him more spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the Hall of Fame, that's one night of recognition. Saying you're not going, that's the months leading up to the Hall of Fame ceremony. Mm-hmm. Where they have to keep talking about it, and it keeps him in the limelight, which we all know T.O. has to be in the limelight, or he goes even crazier than he already is.
That's totally true. It seems like he's correcting by which avenues can get him more attention. So, yeah. You know, cry and complain that you're not in it, and then you're in it, so find a new way to cry about it. So.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Jay?
It might be unpopular, but I don't have a problem with it. He doesn't owe the NFL anything. He made his money, he did his duty as a football player, and now he's given the Hall of Fame the bird, and he probably is getting attention from it, and he probably enjoys it, but he doesn't owe anybody anything. He's done. I mean, he's not on the field. He's not contracted to do anything other than what he wants to do, so I could give two shits if he goes or doesn't go, but I don't blame him for not going.
But let me ask you from this way, Jay. Let's put it this way. Say you are a Hall of Fame running back. You went out there, you did your work, you got the recognition, and you're in the Hall of Fame. And say some guy who's an equal talent, and they're trying to let him into the club that you're a member of, this exclusive club, says, I'm not going. I'm just not going to attend. You guys can honor me. I'm not going to be there when you honor me. As a Hall of Famer, isn't he kind of just thumbing his nose at the people that are welcoming him with open arms? And wouldn't that kind of offend you a little bit?
All right, so I'm this running back, right?
Well, you're a Hall of Famer. You could be a Hall of Famer in whatever sport you want to be. You're a Hall of Fame ice skater, because we know how much figure skating. Yeah, he's a figure skater.
Okay.
Jay looks like a figure skater.
He could pull off a triple lutz. Yeah, I see it.
He's small. He can be a gymnast or a jockey. But
aerodynamic.
Yeah. You're a Hall of Famer. And someone is, to you, isn't this kind of him thumbing his nose at the people accepting him?
Before I answer the question, do I have a full head of hair in my profession?
Dude, you're a Hall of Famer. You do what you ever, whatever you need to do at the top
of
your
head.
You're
a Hall of Famer. You can afford plugs, my friend. You get whatever you need.
Okay, so honestly. Yeah, of course. Of course he's thumbing his nose because he can. Nothing is holding him back to not do it. So no one's ever done it, right? Okay, fair point. Everyone takes it like they should. You're removed from the game. You go have a great celebration and everyone forgets you again in about a week. He's doing it for attention, and I don't have a problem with that because he's a diva. I expect that from him. I expect him to be in a league of his own in the Hall of Fame because he's always been that way. So, I mean, he has the right to do it. I don't knock him one bit. I you know, good for him. I don't care.
Part of me thinks this is also because no one else has done it, because all the other people that go into this Hall of Fame have respect for the game and have respect for the vessel that got them to the platform they're on, where you know the names of Barry Sanders, you know the name of, you know, Peyton Manning to be pretty soon, he'll be in there, but you know the names of Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, you know all these guys because they had respect for the game and the game got them there. And to me, it says that Terrell Owens goes, yeah, made my money, did what I had to do. Screw this game. I really don't care. And that to me goes, okay, why don't you sit out for a few more years? You can be like Pete Rose. We'll put you in when you die.
Hey.
Come on, let's be honest. Yeah. Pete Rose is going to the Hall of Fame when he dies. They're just never going to give him the
success. Appropriate time, yes. After
they're
he passes,
never going to
yeah,
give him the satisfaction of knowing he was a Hall of Famer in that particular way.
Yeah,
so,
that's his punishment.
Russ, where are you at with this?
So I think you kind of hit on it right off the jump there about it being two or three. It took him, this is his third year.
I believe this
that he
is his
was
third
eligible.
Year of eligible.
Right. Yeah. So I think he's a little butthurt about that it took so long. He thought he should have been a first ballot. So one last time, he's doing what T.O. does. He's making it all about him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't really care, because you know who he's robbing? Himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking away the opportunity to have the apex of his career, right? This is the elite of the elite, immortalized for all time. He says he doesn't want it. I mean, he says he went and he visited Canton, and that's when he realized, I just don't want to celebrate it here. I don't want to celebrate it with all these people. Alternate theory, maybe he played with Cincinnati for a while. He's just sick of Ohio, and he doesn't want to go back.
Very possible.
He kept playing there.
Yeah, have we thought about this?
Very possible.
But no, it's just TL being TL. He's only taken away from himself, so I'm really not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not going to get into dishonoring the game or anything, because he's really just he's taken away from himself, and everyone else in the hall isn't gonna, it's not going to diminish them. It's not going to diminish the hall itself. It's just going to make him look like a fool.
Part of this to me also feels like, we know Terrell Owens. It's he's a one man show in his mind. Part of me thinks, hey, maybe he just doesn't like the idea that there's going to be other people on the stage getting recognized the same amount as he is.
Yeah.
That bothers him a little bit.
It's not the Hall of Owens?
It's not the Hall of Owens. He wants it to be like Saturday night, induct all these old guys that are getting in on their 30th attempt, you know, some right tackle that played in the 70s. Induct them. And then on Sunday, it's TO day. I'll stand on the stage. Everyone look at me. And it's like, either you all look at me or I'm not doing it. And it just shows his character. Mm-hmm. It shows how selfish he is. Like we all said, great talent, crazy person who I honestly could care less about afterwards. It actually, if it wasn't for the immense talent and the work he put in, I would have no problem with it never being Hall of Famer Terrell Owens. I'd rather it just be Terrell Owens. Because as a football player, those people that are in that Hall of Fame, I have respect for, because it means at one point they were the best at what they did. And, you know, they deserve that honor. To me, yes, he was a great athlete, but he's a horrible person. A public eye. I don't public know guy. Him
yeah.
as a
yeah.
I don't
not
actually
a, not a
know him as a person.
Thing, but yeah.
And I just don't.
Well, no.
It kind of bugs me. Yeah. If there was a way to say, okay, well, I'll tell you what, you don't want to come, that's fine. We're gonna have someone that wants to be here and that's just as deserving as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and wait a few more years for the Hall of Fame, because all it'll do is have him pouting more.
Yeah.
I'm fine with.
I feel he forgot to factor in that you get into the Hall of Fame not just on merit, but on people voting.
Yeah.
So if you're a prick to the people that are voting you in, they're not going to take your side right away. They know what an honor, just as much as he knows how much the Hall of Fame is an honor and how much being a first ballot Hall of Famer, how much more weight that carries, all the voters know it too.
Yeah.
So they can.
I wonder if the Hall is going to do something to get back at him, like screw up his bust. That should be put somewhere.
Like lose a tooth or something. Oh, that'd be great.
Spell his name wrong.
Make it look like Chad Johnson.
Oh, if it was a Chad Johnson bus instead.
Yeah. This one bugs me, and obviously for obvious reasons, but to me right now, I kind of wish there was a way to go, okay, well, I'll tell you what, you don't have to be in the Hall of Fame right now. We'll put you in a few years when you grow up and be the adult that's supposed to go in the Hall of Fame.
That's not going to happen,
but it's fine. But speaking of Hall of Famers, a Detroit Tiger future Hall of Famer, he got a little injured last night in a pretty bad way. Cabrera's out for the rest of the year, which it hurts, but
got
at the same time, the Tigers weren't going anywhere. Yeah, the Tigers weren't going anywhere, so I believe it was a torn tendon in the bicep.
Ruptured
was the word.
Can we get a confirmation from the doctor?
D.O., can you explain this to us?
Yeah, I did read a little bit about what happened there, and it was an MRI-confirmed rupture of the biceps tendon, which I've torn both my hamstrings, and I know what that feels like, because it's almost like an explosion happening within your muscles there, and it hurts so bad. So, what happened in his forearm there, or I'm sorry, in his bicep, is that when he completed his swing, and he gets the full extension of his arm, perhaps even too far, that biceps muscle is rapidly stretched because it's trying to basically go in opposite to what the triceps is doing, lengthening the arm, biceps trying to say, well, not so fast. But unfortunately, it did happen too fast, and it led to a rupture. And so why he's out for the season, which I believe, from my understanding, he is,
yes,
is because after surgery, it takes about 3 to 4 months to have the healing process complete, but then to return to a sport like baseball, and where you're going to be using all your muscles pretty vigorously, it's going to take 4 to 6 months after surgery to really get up to par. Good news is he will be able to have all the function and strength back in his arm that he will need. Unfortunately, he's gone for the rest of the season, and with the Tigers struggling as they are, at least from what I've been watching lately, they'll be missing him, of course, but he will be back next season, I'm sure, no problem, unless he's traded,
yeah.
which the Tigers tend to do.
Yeah.
And we all saw the video. He knew right away. There wasn't a question in his mind. You know, some guys will fall over. They'll lay there for a minute. He dropped the bat and said, "Okay, I'm gonna go into the dugout. You guys can figure out what you need to do." It's tough. It really is. But, Rush, you're a baseball guy, so I'm gonna pose this question to you.
Yep.
Miggy's been hurt a lot over the last couple years. The real thing is, though, was part of you kind of like this? You get a Miguel Cabrera that gets to take like 9 months off and just heal, get better, get back, so that next year he's had the extended vacation. He's not a slacker, so as soon as he's healthy enough to resume activity, you know he's going to be in the cage. You know he's going to be practicing when he can. He's going to stay in shape. Do you kind of like the, hey, we weren't going anywhere this year anyway? How about you're shutting down for the year because of injury, but we're also liking the idea that you get to relax and get healthy again so we can have a good chance with you next year?
So before I can answer that question, I need 2 points of clarification from the brightest mind on radio that we have with us.
I'm listening. That's
no, it is, not it is me. For sure not you.
Not me.
No,
okay.
It is the doctor.
Doctor.
So Paul, you had mentioned him being able to recover to full strength. Is that typical, or is that, you know, a best case scenario that you think he could reasonably come back to where he was at?
Has there ever been experiences where guys haven't made like the full recovery?
If they have, I don't have any examples of that at the moment, but you know, just from a normal correction of this injury, it's pretty much expected. If everything goes to plan, if they don't try to reintroduce exercises too soon, like if everything takes a progressive approach, and from physical therapy to light activity to resistance activity to going back into play in a very gradual, expected fashion, you know, it should heal up no problem.
Okay.
But you know, if any of that, if any of those links in the chain are happen too fast, then that's when you get some issues to where, you know, you can get a lot more effective scarring, and you know, your strength is not going to be up to par, and re-injuring it. You name it.
Okay.
It could happen if the plan's not followed.
So you mentioning re-injuring, that was actually my second point, is he struggled with a biceps injury before. You know, could it have been something that we see this reoccurrence or amplification, really, of the injury because he was rushed back, because he didn't get enough time to rest?
Yeah. Is it the same arm?
Yep,
as
same
before?
Arm.
It is. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely, I'd say definitely possible.
Okay.
But I don't know how far out that other injury was compared to this one.
No,
it
was a considerable amount of time, but he didn't actually stop playing for very long when he injured it the last time. So I wonder if it ever really properly healed. Right.
Yeah.
But
that's true. That potential is definitely there.
Okay.
At least in my opinion, I'd say so.
So getting back to Eric's original question, thank you for enlightening us all, Paul.
You got some information so you can make an educated decision. So,
man,
from
America's most average engineer.
What do you got for us?
Well, supplemented by the intelligence
of amazing doctor. Yep. Yeah, guy that's educated.
That's actually a pretty nice silver lining, because let's be honest here. The Tigers weren't doing anything this year.
I was just looking. That's going to be my question for Jay. So
okay,
got it here.
I was going to bring up our expectations. We threw out the Twitter poll a while back when we talked about it, and the leading answer was between 60 and 70 wins, which would be good for putting them in contention for the first overall pick, right? So as to say, really bad. And Cabby hasn't been having a good year. Sure, he's been hitting
really
299, but he has 3 home runs. He has 22 ribbies. Yeah, he's been struggling with injuries for not a short amount of time now. If we want him good when we have a chance to be decent, yeah, I'm okay with him sitting down, resting. I hate that this is how it had to happen, because God, don't wish that on anybody. But yeah, if we're talking about Tigers actually being good again someday with Cabby being here, this might be one of those necessary steps that gets us there.
I like it too. I think that it's great. It's not great for the injury. You never want that. But the fact that he's injury prone, and the fact that a lot of times these injuries have caught up to him late in the season when we really needed the push, I like that. You know what? For the first time in since he was probably 18 years old, he gets 9 months off to just get healthy, get back. Next year, we'll draft picks, free agency. Some of these younger guys will have developed a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I just like it. I think it's a good chance for him to kind of come back next year and
rest his back, fingers, rest his legs.
So I'm with you on that one. Now, because I know the reaction is going to be fantastic, here's my question for Jay. Jay, right now, the Tigers are 5.5 games back of the AL Central lead that the Cleveland Indians have. Without Miggy, do you give them even a remote chance of getting into even second place? They're 5 games back of, they're only a game back of the Twins, 5 game back of the Cleveland. Can the Tigers finish second in the AL Central?
Not a snowball chance in hell.
It's about what I expected. Okay. Like, okay, that's fair.
Losing Miggy is detrimental to them. Granted, they're already playing piss poor as it is, but without Miggy, now they have a reason to actually like put in a tank and become the worst team and secure a first pick and, you know, look towards the future. I don't see them having any kind of a productive season now. I mean, I think he did more than just being a man at bat. I mean, he is the guy. Who's your Tiger? It's Midge. He's the Tiger. They don't have their Tiger anymore. They got a fucking goose that they parade around. And they're gonna do something like that. Okay.
So that's rally goose. Rally goose. Okay.
So, the other thing, just to touch on some of the earlier points on this too, is you've got the good news that he can rest his body, but I guarantee you, the bad news of that as well is Miggy already claims he's been playing injured and he feels pressure from the fans and, you know, he's trying to take care. There has to be more that's wrong with his body. So shutting him down to evaluate his body is a good thing, but I'm afraid of the extent of the actual tear in his bicep. I'm afraid of his recovery, and this could very well, I'm not trying to be like all, you know, knee-jerk reaction, but this could be the turning point in his career and for the fan base towards Miggy. And this might be us ushering into a new era without him.
Okay.
That's a fair point.
All right. And then, Paul, I just want to pick your brain on one more thing. Assuming he has surgery tomorrow, assuming he has surgery tomorrow, everything goes perfect. Everything goes great. He's good. When realistically could you expect Miguel Cabrera to be able to participate in full speed activities?
Yeah, I know, probably 4 to 6 months, maybe closer to 6. So
by Christmas, he could probably be able to like get into a cage and swing a bat full speed.
Yeah, and then, of course, that's, you know, the end point of the progression that you're going from light exercises, just passive motion, to resistance things, and then to full activity after that.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to take a little while, for sure.
I'm more thinking of it just for the fact that if you say that, that means he's got three and a half months to get in baseball shape, because spring training starts in March, right? Mm-hmm. So 2.5-3 months to get in game shape again. So you're looking at, he's got 6 months to just shut it down, kick your feet up, get healthy, get all those aching things back to as good as you can, and then get at it again. And you tell me you're going to give, in my opinion, one of the best hitters of the last decade, mm-hmm, 3 months where he just got to get it back, get in shape. I don't see why we're not getting at least a 25, if not 30, home run Miguel Cabrera coming back next year.
I'd even slow play him coming back from that. I don't need you next year. The year after that is the soonest I think this team could be decent.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying that he's gonna walk on the field in 2019 and like break the home run record and we're gonna win a World Series. But listen, we all look up to idols. We all look up to players. I guarantee you there are going to be some youth coming to this team that are going to say, oh, my God, it's Miguel Cabrera. Mm-hmm. Having that in that dugout, having that mentor, because he's reaching a mentor level now. He's not going to be the best player in baseball anymore. He's not even the best player in baseball anymore. I like that. So, yeah, I'm not expecting him, but he can give those players that drive, get that a little bit better. These guys get a taste of what maybe making a little bit of a run in the playoffs can do for you. Heck, that signals the beginning of something good. You know, you can't know what it's like until you get there. So I like that. And I think Miguel Cabrera is definitely a piece that has to be healthy and playing for them to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I like Fulmer. I really do. Yeah. I hope
he needs help.
Yeah, he needs help. I like Mize, this guy we drafted. I've seen some footage on him. He looks like he's going to be a great pitcher. Pitchers can't do it all by themselves. You need guys scoring runs for you, mm-hmm, so that you can defend that lead. And without Miguel Cabrera, scoring runs is not always the easiest thing to do.
Nope.
So that's just me, but I'd be interested to see it. I think shutting him down is a great thing. I think it helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Let's get that first overall pick again. 2 years in a row, baby.
Why not? Why not? We can draft someone to be DH so Martinez can just retire.
Oh, he's hitting like 243
this
year.
I'm so sick of Victor Martinez.
He's got four homers, though.
I've been sick of Victor Martinez since like 2016. We're going to keep going. We got our best of topic, which we love to do. This week's best of topic, Russ came up with. Russ, what's our topic?
So in honor of the Capitals breaking their 44-year history of never winning a cup, fun fact, hadn't even won a game in the finals until this year because our own Wings swept them right out of there.
Nice.
Bye-bye, boys.
Love it.
But in honor of them, we wanted to explore, you know, who are some of the teams that you'd like to see win a championship that never have, right? Lions excluded, of course, because I think
everyone would
just do that right away, right? So we're going to give you the rare chance to lead this off here.
Wow.
What team of the professional sports you would most like to see win a championship that never has yet?
Yeah. See, I was the overachiever. I made a list. Ooh. But if I have to, I'll read my list, man.
Give me it.
I'll run down the list. But this list almost is kind of in order of how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name my number one because my number one's actually an individual, and that's a golfer. So we'll leave that to the end.
Okay.
First one's the Houston Texans. I would love to see J.J. Watt get a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I love the Houston Texans. They're fun to watch. He's another guy who's had a lot of injury problems the last couple of years. I think him with a healthy year is great for him. So J.J. Watt, Houston Texans would be great. I'd love to see that.
Caveat, can it happen in the Cowboys stadium just to burn Jerry Jones?
Absolutely.
That'd be phenomenal.
Absolutely. I'm great with that.
Okay.
Have J.J. Watt like jump in the air and rip down that Megatron, the Jumbotron thing they got. Second, I think we'll all agree on this one. The Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
I would love...
That's mine.
Yeah. I would love to see the Nashville Predators win a Stanley Cup. I think we all would. Mm-hmm. So, Paul, sorry about that one. Get your own.
That's okay.
staying with the NHL, this is my only other NHL team, the San Jose Sharks.
Ooh. What?
We got some strong feelings about this.
Okay. Bring it back. Bring it back.
No. Let's get a little tit for tat here.
Give me your reasons as to why.
Well, I mean,
fourth best team in California.
This is the answer that, you know, being a Revings fan, I'm supposed to give. But one, I just don't like them. Because, I mean, it's San Jose.
did they both not want it? Oh, wow.
Neither of them wanted it. That's why.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Paul has it right. It's San Jose. I mean, they're the fourth best team in their own state. They have no offensive prowess at all, and their best player doesn't own a razor.
Hey, as the two defensemen on the rusty trombones, defense wins championships. Russ, defense.
We barely won games.
Shut up. Defense wins championships, and I trip a lot.
yourself and others.
Yeah, I do. I knocked that one dude down. But, yeah, okay. Yeah,
San Jose winning a Stanley Cup, like, I don't see them doing any kind of celebrating. I see them just looking around like, okay, what do we do now? We won.
Well, Brett Burns would discover fire, so he'd be good there.
Maybe have a nice thick brontosaurus burger?
Yeah, absolutely. Drag one of the teammates off by their hair. It'd be great. He'd have a good time. I just think it'd be fun to see. They're a team that's never won a championship. Why not? I like Brett Burns. I think he does look like a freaking caveman, but
I want to buy insurance from him.
Yeah, I really do. I think he'd be a great insurance salesman. next one. This one literally is only because I was a huge fan of a guy that played on their team 20 years ago. The Seattle Mariners.
Griffey. Of course.
Just because the Seattle Mariners have never even come close. Mm-hmm. They've never even sniffed it. They're like the Cleveland Browns of baseball. It's sad. So that one would be interesting to see for that one. The next one is because I've seen how these guys celebrate when their team is horrible. I can't imagine how they would celebrate if they won an NFL championship. The Buffalo Bills.
They would burn
down buildings. One of their fat men would jump through a fiery building and crush all of it.
Four tables.
Yeah, those tables, man. They would probably upgrade to wood tables. I just think I've seen how they celebrate, and plus four straight Super Bowls, mm-hmm. four straight losses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Lions fan, so I can say this. If there's anyone that deserves an NFL championship, it's the Buffalo Bills. They have come to the pinnacle and collapsed 4 years in a row. It's ungodly because you're the only one that can go, next year we might do it. Oh, shit. Next year we might do it. So.
Yeah, four times.
Yeah, four times.
Yeah, oh, and we covered them, and we voted them the most miserable fan base in sports.
Most miserable fan base in sports. So, yeah,
that was one of mine as well.
Yeah, and again, we're Lions fans.
We know misery.
The last team I have, and this one's just for the fact that they share a building with one of the most successful franchises in NBA history, and that's the LA Clippers. Because you have to sit there and look at the 20 banners that the Lakers have, and you have zero, and you have to share a building with them. It's got to be miserable.
Maybe just, don't bring in Doc Rivers and let his kid run point. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That's a solid one.
But see, Rivers won a title. Rivers won a title. So
with the original Big Three.
Yeah, that's true. So it's got to be miserable. Now, for me, the other two were golfers. Ricky Fowler's never won a major. I'd love to see him win one. And the last one, this guy has won titles, but he needs the last title. Phil Mickelson needs to win the U.S. Open this week to get the career Grand Slam. That's the one I want to see. That's my favorite golfer of all time. That's the one I want to see. That's my list. I'm sorry. I'm sure I picked everybody's decisions.
No.
Oh, so Jay's still in it. Jay, give me the one I missed.
You didn't take any of mine, dude. You're golden. Ooh.
Give me what I missed.
Ooh. All right. So, individually, he is one of my favorite under-the-radar NHL players, and that's John Tavares. And I don't care what team he plays for, I want him to win a Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Him alone, he's talented, but his whole family is riddled with talented players, from lacrosse I forgot what his dad played. There's another sport in there. But just I've read a lot on Tavares. I like the dude from what I've read, and him, he needs a cup. Like, he's the next player in the NHL who is so talented and hasn't won yet. Wait, so I picked Tavares.
Quick question on that. Bob McKenzie's been filtering some rumors out there that Pittsburgh is looking at trying to get Tavares. Would you make that deal with the devil? Would you say, all right, Tavares, he gets his cup, but it's on Pittsburgh?
No. See, then you know what? It wouldn't be the NHL. We'd be the fucking NBA.
Yeah. The Golden State Warriors of hockey. Yeah.
That would be the Pittsburgh Warriors.
Which, by the way, I would like to point out, the Golden State Warriors, they are a super team. Mm-hmm. They drafted everything but one of that super team.
Uh-huh.
They drafted Curry, Thompson, Green. They signed Iguodala, but Iguodala's not a key.
Yeah, he's a
KD
player.
Is the only reason that's a super team of signing.
Uh-huh.
They drafted the rest of that and won a title without KD. Uh-huh. So this whole super team thing gets a little annoying for me when it's 75% of it was done in the draft. But
right, but then you pull a comparison to Miami when it was Bosh, Wade, and LeBron.
But see, so, that one was an actual signing of the stars. Wade was the only thing there. Thing. LeBron and Bosh, and everybody's like, "Oh, Bosh isn't a superstar." Bosh was a superstar when he went to Miami. Bosh was a big name in basketball when he went to Miami. So that's the super team that everyone seems to pass over. Then LeBron comes back to Cleveland when Kyrie and Kevin Love. LeBron's the Mr. Super Team. We can't do this. I will talk about this for like 4 hours.
Wait, we were talking
hours.
About John Tavares.
Yeah. But seriously, Malkin, Tavares, Crosby, Fat Boy Kessel.
Well,
it'd be amazing.
Said the thing, they'd probably have to lose Kessel just to fit it in.
Would be gone.
Well, their catering bill would go way down for the season. But, all right, back to you, Jay. Give us what else you got.
All right, so good segue with the NBA. The other one I had was any NBA team that's not the Cavs or Golden State, because that's their shitty product. It's the same two teams. You guys took a poll, or you took a guess at how many minutes I'd watch. I watched none minutes.
None
I
minutes. We won.
So if you took the under, congratulations. I didn't watch that shit because I didn't care. I watched the intermission between the fourth quarter and overtime when LeBron had a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
So just any NBA team could win, and I'd be happy. Last two that I have. Sticking on the any topic, I picked any Canadian hockey team because no Canadian hockey team has won since 1993, which was the Habs.
Uh-huh.
That's okay. It hasn't happened.
That's okay. Yeah.
That's Canada. It's Canada, healthcare, hockey. Like, that's how you know them as a country. And they haven't won since 93, and it's supposed to be their namesake. It's supposed to be
what they're born on. Like, every kid comes out of the womb with a pair of Bauer skates, and they haven't won since 93. And I just think that's terrible, so they should definitely win one.
Canada's also now known, according to Jimmy Kimmel, for politely threatening Donald Trump, which I thought was great.
Oh, Justin Trudeau is
he said
man.
Sorry like three times in his thing when he was threatening Donald Trump, and I thought that was great. All right. Sorry, Jay. I keep interrupting Jay, but I thought that was the best. So Canadian hockey team, that'd be great. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. All right, so my last one. Now, Paul, this is a good way to segue into Paul, because Paul can speak on this. And it also lets me toot my horn and check off my checklist of mentioning this guy's name once per podcast. But I would love to see Chris Bosch come back from his blood clot and actually
yes.
win a finals. I love
But he's won, like, he won yeah, two he's championships. Won he's won two championships.
I understand. That's why I saved him for last, because he doesn't really count. But the whole premise of coming back from blood clots and actually winning again will probably trump any victory he's ever had, because the dude wants the ball, and you can see it in his eyes.
And I did. Mickelson's got five mm-hmm. championships, so that's fair. Why do you love the Bostrich so much? I don't understand this fascination.
I don't know if we have the time to really deep dive that.
That's very true.
No, we'll talk about the Bostrich one day. I'll sit you down with a beer and give you a 20-minute seminar on the man.
I'll start a slideshow of all the memes associated with the Bostrich.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to put that up on the Twitter, the memes of Justin and the Bostrich.
Oh, my goodness.
Paul, can you speak to that? I mean, obviously, coming back from blood clots is probably a tough thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd have to look into what the rehab on that's like, but I mean, I also don't know how severe his situation is, but yeah, I mean, if he can make it back and go back to his old Bostrich ways, you know, that'd be great to see. He's a character. I think that's mostly why I like him, but yeah, you know, if he has any like underlying clotting disorder, of which I have no idea if he does or not, but you know, it can be difficult. It can be, especially like, you know, if he has to be on like blood thinners or something like that. You know, he's not exactly in a sport where bleeding is a big risk in basketball, of course, but, you know, things can happen. But yeah, I'd like to see him come back.
That'd be great. Definitely would be great. Now, Paul, since I took your yours, is there anyone off the top of the head, or is there anyone from the list that or the names we've given you that you just wouldn't want to see?
Well, actually, I'll elaborate on why the Preds from my aspect, I guess. But I have both a biased reason and an unbiased reason. But the biased reason, first off, is since I got to go to a Predators playoff game, I believe it was 2015, and just the atmosphere, like, those fans love their Preds. You know, they're not like, you know, a bunch of bandwagon Chicago fans who now love their team because they got good again. That city absolutely rallies around their Predators, and they live and die by them. And so, you know, just for that fan base alone, like, you got to root for them. Like, sitting in that crowd and actually, you know, being a part of them, cheering for the Preds, because, I mean, why would you root for Chicago? But, So, yeah, being a part of that and getting to see that, like, you know, you can't help but want to root for a team like that, because they want it, and I think they deserve it. They're so close. They're almost there. Unbiased reason, actually kind of feeding off from what I just said, is that they're so close. They're a really good team. You know, I also do like PK, so a little bit biased again, but, you know, it's one of those teams that, like, they're surging. They're almost right there. And they just need some more pieces to click for them to get a deeper push in the playoffs. Like, I predicted them to win. Unfortunately, they didn't. But I think they're up next. They could be up next to win it. And so I'm rooting for them, because I don't think our boys are going to make it next year, obviously. So
no, I think that one would be tough. But speaking of that, I want to hear Russ's. Russ gives good ones. The only one that you just made me think of, because you said you're a PK fan. I understand that this team has won cups before. I'm almost positive they won cups. Someone correct me if they haven't. And that would be Erik Karlsson. I would love to see him win a Stanley Cup.
I don't.
They've never. Ottawa's never won one.
Ottawa's never won one. Okay. No. So then, and honestly, I couldn't name any other person on Ottawa probably, but Karlsson. One, with everything he's been through, he just deserves it. But two, the guy's an elite hockey player. You know, he's had so much thrown at him, and he's succeeded. I'd love to see him win a Stanley Cup too. So that would be.
I agree.
That'd be a good one.
I agree for sure.
Come to Detroit and win a cup. Yeah.
Come to Detroit.
We like Swedes here, Eric.
Yeah, we treat Swedes phenomenally. Russ, what do you got for us?
So you took my Bills one. It's a good one. I mean, the city's gone 53 years without a championship of any kind, right? So it would be nice for them to get off the schneid there. probably a couple of years away at best for really the Bills or the Sabres.
Yeah.
But they're both built in there. My second one was not the Browns. Specifically not the Browns, because we are Lions fans, and if I can't have the Lions on this list, I can't have the one team that would burn me more than the Lions not getting it would be if the Browns got it first. 2-0-16 teams in history, right? Just the two of us. If they get it first, no, I need this. We need to win one. Martha Ford, I'm talking to you. We need to win a championship before the Browns do.
Which I think we probably are closer to.
We've probably got 50 years to do it.
Yeah.
But let's get it done.
Which this is going to make you mad because I literally deleted them off my list. And my reasoning was going to be the complete backwards reason of you.
Yeah.
They're a suffering team.
Oh, right.
We're a suffering team. If we can't do it, I'd like to see one of these struggle-busting teams do it. But, I mean, you think Arizona's never won one.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills, the Chargers. There's plenty of other suffering teams.
Okay, with so many of them.
Yeah.
Just not
okay
the Browns.
I'm not okay with the Chargers. Philip Rivers can eat a dick.
Literally. Okay.
I hate Philip Rivers.
He's got a lot of kids.
Yeah, I can hate that man.
That's somebody's father.
I'm someone's son. We'll make this work. Okay. Let's go.
But if like the Lions win in 2020, I'm okay with the Browns win in 21, right? Just not before the Lions, please.
Okay.
And then my final one kind of goes back to what Jay was saying about a Canadian team, but specifically I want to see the Winnipeg Jets win. They're the sixth longest championship drought for a city that has a team in the four major sports, mm-hmm. right? They have nothing since 79 when they joined the NHL. They lost their team already once, and now they have to watch that hunk of junk over in Arizona. So it feels like every year they lose twice now.
Yeah.
So I would really like to see. That's a passionate small town that mm-hmm. just loves their hockey. I mean, we saw it with the series with Nashville, right? Like that. Some people are touting that as the preview for the Stanley Cup Finals. Well, it turns out we were very, very wrong about that. But no, that's a fan base that deserves it. That's a team that's up and coming and fast. And I'd love to see Winnipeg win one.
Yeah.
And that's the extent of my list. You guys did a great job filling out the rest of them.
Yeah.
Especially you, Mr. Every Team That Hasn't Won
a Championship. Every team that hasn't won a championship. Full disclosure, though. If the Winnipeg Jets would just let Paul and I control them, we would win Stanley Cups for days. We would be the Golden State of N. We're just winning, running, train. Oh,
just get like that Adam Sandler controller from that awful movie and just run that for a while.
Just run it. Just win. All I do is win. But that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Before we end this, you guys are more than welcome to chime in on this too, but I got to do it. My dad will never hear this because he doesn't know what a radio, like what a podcast is. But if it wasn't for my dad, sports wouldn't be a thing. Like my dad was a sports fanatic, got me into that. And some of my fondest memories are just debating the hell out of my dad when I thought that like some no-name guy, like Stephon Marbury, argued with my dad that Stephon Marbury was going to be a better basketball player than Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't pan out. Didn't pan out even a little bit. But just sitting there, and without sports, it wouldn't be. So I got to say, because it's this weekend, happy Father's Day to my dad. Russ, I know your dad. I know that sports is something he helped get you with. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I would be interested in sports if it wasn't for the love that he instilled in me for it. Like, I fell in love with hockey early on, and he was a baseball guy. He was a basketball guy, right? But he took up the sport, mm-hmm. right? He helped coach me at times. Like, this is, I owe so much of what I have now to him.
Yeah.
And he listens to the podcast, so he's given us some feedback, mainly stop letting Eric talk.
Yeah, that was going to be my first suggestion.
You know, but, you know, hey, thanks, Dad. Happy Father's Day.
Absolutely, boys.
Happy Father's Day to my dad as well. Actually, why the reason I ran track with you hooligans is because I wanted to be just like my dad, who ran track back in middle school and high school as well. So he got me into that, and you know, my dad was he coached hockey teams I've been on, and out there playing hockey with us in the driveway growing up. And you know, dads are super important for sports. Like, they get you in it, they help you through it, they want to coach you through it and be a dad the whole time. And so you know, big shout out to my dad as well, and happy Father's Day to him and all your dads.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'll jump in too on that. My dad was a huge Blackhawks fan, so if anything, he taught me how to argue and why Red Wings are superior to the Hawks. And that's all I got on that. So if anything, I've learned how to effectively communicate how I feel about things. So happy Father's Day to him as well.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Oh, they make something for us.
Can we get a happy Father's Day to the father on the podcast?
That's true. Yeah, happy Father's Day to Jay. We've said it on the podcast a couple times. His daughter is going to be the greatest female hockey player to ever play the game, but she's also going to be really good at golf because someone in the Marcus family needs to be good at golf. Happy Father's Day to Jay. It's we wish you the best, man.
I also wish him happy Mother's Day too, all the time. I've done that for years. I don't know why I do it, but happy Mother's Day to him too.
You're just sweeping up the holidays.
Legal guardian, father, mother, whatever you want, I'm there for you.
You are our legal guardian, according to the JCC, so definitely.
Not a document.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.